Number 22B.
I told you that because after he had seen that, years afterwards, he was studying the book on Revelation. And studying the book on Revelation, he began to see really the structure of that book, how John the Revelator was laying it out in a very scientific way and bringing in various categories, and these categories in various orders. And suddenly, when he was at the point where John the Revelator showed how evil must be handled, he saw that John the Revelator handled it in the reversed word order. And so he suddenly had the biblical confirmation that his spiritual sense was actually a scientific sense, that the spiritual sense just touched a law in being that existed since time immemorial, that it isn't something that he made up and that he was thinking out, but that already John the Revelator had seen that the moment he has to handle evil, that he has to handle it from the point of view of love, and then in the reversed order, word order, right down to mind. So naturally this gave him great confidence that his spiritual sense is scientific enough to catch really and from being, really to listen from being, what is being really has in store for us and how being operates as various laws. So that was the way he was teaching us right from the beginning, that he began to see, let's handle evil through the seven synonymous terms, and you can do it even with more power or with more security and more confidence, so to say, when we have learned really what the word order means. So without really knowing what mind means tonality-wise, what spirit means tonality-wise, soul, principle, life, truth, and love tonality-wise, then naturally we have nothing within us with which to handle evil. So the very first point is always the ascending line to fill one's consciousness with the tonality of the seven synonymous terms. Then we have done what? We have built up the true sense of God within us. And only with the true sense of God within us, we can also know what is the wrong sense of God within us, so that we can handle evil, which is only a belief in a counterfeit of God. We can handle that from the point of view of perfection from love. So how did he show that? Now I want quickly to run through that inversed word order, just to give an example as it comes into my mind right away. But I want to be quite clear that I'm not now going to show the handling of evil in the reversed word order, so that you have a nice spiritual lift up or whatever you call it. But I want to show and interrupt it always by showing which factors must be considered in order that we really handle that evil rightly in the reversed word order. Namely, that we always must go out from the perfection of a synonymous term, or else we have nothing to analyze and uncover and annihilate. We must already have that sense that we know what the synonymous term is and contemplate it through the ideas that flow into our consciousness. But then comes the handling of evil. Then we must see that very positive standpoint is annihilating its opposite. Or else we have no handling of evil. Or else we just have, again, really the building up of perfection within our consciousness and do not see that this very perfection is really the answer to imperfection, that it's really annihilating always the opposite. So these are just the two points that we have to keep in mind in order that the law is handled properly, so that we have a real rule how to deal with evil. So let's start and try to see, and you can flow with me, though I have to speak loud, and every time I would go through it, I would bring up other tones and other ideas of the seventh synonymous term, but as you know, the tonality of them, you can easily flow, but just let us impress with that law that it must be not one-sided, that it must be two-sided, that it must within us annihilate the concept that the opposite, that the counterfeit can be true. Only then do we annihilate evil. So we can go out from love and we fill our consciousness with that infinite perfection of love, that love which only knows perfection, that love which is always at the point of complete fulfillment, at the point of complete consummation of everything, that love that knows only its own ideas, that is never without its idea, that is never without its manifestation, that love which knows the whole plan of love, the whole plan of the universe, the design of the universe, the design of man, that knows the design individually, collectively, and universally, that so it knows that whole design and has the intelligence really to fulfill that plan. So if I fill my thought with that plan of perfection, then I can see, and now I come to the opposite, how the opposite comes in, then I see, therefore, all the concept, all the ignorance about the true plan of God is annihilated, so that there is no other plan at work, so that I can see that no evil plan is at work, that there is no evil plan or evil design that leads me astray, that gives me dissatisfaction, that gives me fruition. Can you see? Now you have to annihilate or deny, really, that the opposite can be true. So never forget that, so that I can see within myself that as a perfection of love, I move and have my being in a terrific plane of salvation. Therefore, that annihilates my fear or my ignorance that I'm not led in a plane of salvation, that I can go astray in my life, that there is no salvation awaiting me, that only nothingness or hell or whatever you may call it is awaiting me. That is annihilated in my consciousness. I know then that love is going to fulfill the plan of love, or that you know that that plan of love works universally. Therefore, it annihilates. I'll come to the second part. It annihilates within me that fear that the world can go astray, that the world can go down the drain, that the world will be destroyed, that mankind will be destroyed, because that is not the fulfillment of the love's plan. So I cut out of my consciousness that possibility. Of a wrong plan, of a material plan, of the devilish plan, that could be at work. Or I go to truth, and we know truth certainly also in its perfection, that truth itself is already also perfect. We have seen that every stage has its own perfection. So that truth I can see in its perfection as that which is true all through the universe, that from everlasting to the everlasting, truth claimed itself as the only truth there is, as that truth which is always whole, which is always healthy, which is always hail, which is always complete, which is never lacking anything, that truth which does not know any error, that truth which is always factual, that it cannot be denied, that it is claiming itself, that it is standing for itself, that it is establishing itself constantly, that truth which is the truth about all truths in the universe. And so I begin with the ideas that come to me about truth to fill really my consciousness with that one truth. And if it fills it with that one truth, I say, and now comes the other side of the coin, namely, then I can see that there can be no error at work that annihilates my belief or the universal belief or the collective belief that there can be error that error can act, that there is such a thing as error, that there is such a thing as the unknown consciousness, as a subconsciousness, as an archetypal consciousness, as a collective unconsciousness that is at work. That annihilates it, because I can see that truth is the only consciousness, truth that knows itself and is conscious of itself and is conscious of only of itself or nothing but of itself. That excludes the sense, really, that's the other side of the coin, that excludes really the sense that there can be another consciousness and therefore wipes out, annihilates, destroys, whatever we may name it. The tonality remains the same. It wipes out, it wipes away, really, the belief that there is another consciousness at work. That the devil has also a consciousness that annihilates that. That evil has a consciousness, it annihilates that. So that finally I feel free within myself and feel I'm completely free of a sense that another consciousness, but the consciousness of truth, could be at work. That is annihilate. You hear the rule. All I want to show is the rule. So that one doesn't forget, really, to use also to see also the opposite of the coin, the other side of the coin. And only that through seeing that it annihilates the opposite, we strengthen ourselves. Just as she has said, only when we see the nothingness of nothing and understand it, we can demonstrate the somethingness of good. So to see that the opposite is not there, is not real, that it is annihilated, that it has no place, no time, no channel, nor anything, we strengthen within ourselves the truth. This is, therefore, it is nothing negative. See, this rule is nothing negative. It's naturally not making evil a reality because we see its nothingness. So I know the critic about it that say, well, why do you do that? Why should we do that? That's not Christian Science. Because you only, in this way, you only make evil real. You fight against evil. No, we don't fight against evil. We don't make it real. We see that it can't be anything, that it cannot be anything. So that if I take the position of life, let's go to life and see what happens within our consciousness at the point of life. We go out from the perfection of life. Life is always perfect. Life is always the same life. Life is always that which has no beginning, no end. Life is always that one being, that one infinite being that cannot be anything but life. So I have the perfection of life, which I can fill my thought with all the ideas of life and see the perfection of life is when that life is constantly giving me the newness of life, always the evergreenness of life, always the mutation of life, the abundance of life, the superabundance of life, that is always giving multiplication of good, and I feel my thought that life is constantly lifting me out of a false sense of life and brings me into the eternal life, and that life is eternal, and that I flow with that life, that so that I'm constantly at the well of life and drinking out of that infinite well of life that never ceases, never ceases, never ceases, that just flows and flows and flows. And if I lift up my consciousness to that point, then I see really the perfect way of life, that I'm on that way of life, that way of life is a perfect way of life, that it has. And now I come to the opposite, and see, therefore, any hindrance on the way of life is not real. That destroys it within me, really, that belief or that claim or that fear that my life cannot fulfill itself. It destroys within me that life is going backward instead of forward, that it's going downward instead of uplifting, that life can have an end, that it can suddenly have an end. It clear, it destroys within me, that life becomes dreary and dreary, and that the multiplication of life stops, that the newness of life could stop. That all that is destroyed within me. That really, as life goes on, or actually always new ideas will flow in into my life, and so I don't believe, it destroys that belief that I'm deprived of the newness of life, of the multiplication of life, of the uplifting sense of life, that I am deprived of the eternal cycle of life, or eternal spiral of life that spirals up and up and up, so that there is no hindrance, no stoppage there. Nothing can stop that life. So I destroy that concept which may come to me, that comes to everybody in the way of life. Yeah. Or let's take principle. What do we know about principle, about the perfect principle? All we go out from perfection, that principle in itself has its infinite perfection. What does that mean? And then within me it comes up, that sense, well, that principle is not just a term called principle. Principle implies that it has within itself categories, that it has within itself structure, that has it within itself system, that it has within itself science, that has within itself interpretation, that it has within itself explanation, that it has within itself the governing power, the full power of government, that the only principle is the government. There is no other government but the government of principle, that it is a theocratical government of principle, God's government of itself. That's my principle. And that principle I know in its fulfillment has spiritual power, has the power of demonstration, has the power really to break through every situation so that it is harmonious and brings about harmonious results, a harmonious state. That principle, in spite that it has constantly change within itself, is constantly in harmony within itself, that the science of change just rules it, so that I feel there is an infinite self-organization taking care of the infinite changes in the manifestation of principle, principle being fixed in principle, never moves, but its ideas are constantly moving and its ideas are constantly organizing themselves. I have a terrific sense that principle is self-organizing, self-regulating, self-mistake-correcting, that it is mistake-friendly, as they say in that cybernetic law. So I get a terrific sense of that one principle in its harmony, in its wonderful balance and harmony. Well, that destroys within me. Now you come to the other side of the coin and you say, that destroys within me all those beliefs that I have that this principle is not self-operating. That destroys within me, first of all, the belief that I have to operate that principle, that I have to make that principle operate, that I have to apply this principle instead of seeing that principle applies itself, that I have to prove that principle instead of seeing that principle proves itself. So it frees me from a false belief, it destroys that false belief, that the principle is not self-operating. Or it destroys within me the belief that that principle is a principle even if I don't see as a science, that it still remains a principle, that principle does not need a science, not need a system, that does not need to be reduced to a system. It destroys within me all that belief that we see in the whole movement in the world, that it is not necessary to know how principle interprets itself, how principle really is explaining itself through a science, through a system. So that belief is being destroyed. It destroys within me the belief that I don't have to understand that principle, that I don't have to understand principle in its science and in its system. So it takes away that sense that I say, well, it's not necessary, God anyway does what he wants to do, so what's the good of it if I know the science of that principle? That takes it away too, so that I feel no, all that which goes against the science, which does not want to accept the science, all that unwillingness to learn all things rightly, which binds Christendom in chains, all that has to go away, that has to give place really to an acceptance of that principle in its infinite interpretation. Well, perhaps some other ideas come along, like seeing that that principle is constantly in the state of balance and of harmony, so it takes away, it annihilates in me that disharmony or inharmony is real. It takes away that belief that I can get out of harmony, that harmony has power, that disharmony has power, that disharmony has channels to which to work. It destroys within me the belief that harmony is not working out itself and that it can bring about disharmony, this imbalance, and things like that. And so you go on, whatever comes to your mind. Or we take soul, and we see the perfection of soul. That's always a great thing, that perfection of soul, which says, you know, being is what it is. That's the perfection of soul. It doesn't change. Being is not sometimes being and sometimes not being. It is unchangeable. It has fixed identity, that which does not change. Soul is something that cannot be touched, that cannot be touched by anything, not be touched by belief, nor by ignorance, nor by fear, nor by anxieties. It cannot be touched by disease. It cannot be touched by any belief. It is what it is. It has its own selfhood, so that it has its own divine ego, which is unchangeable. That's the perfection of soul, or you can see the perfection of soul is that it rejoices in itself, that it has a seed within itself, that it is therefore always self-renewing, self-establishing, self-reviving itself. So because soul is like the seed that has the seed within itself, soul says, everything that is of the nature of good is ever appearing and reappearing and is reconstructed and re-established. All those re come in, which say that nothing can get out of balance. It is a joy of soul that fills our heart. And so we see the opposite of the coin. We see that soul is really doing away. It's really doing away with a sense that we suffer under depression, that we don't have the joy, that we are always cast down, that there is no beauty with ourselves, that we cannot see beauty, that we cannot express beauty. The soul is always at the point of showing the beauty of soul, the joy of soul, and therefore that destroys within us that sense of depression, the sense of being not really alive to the situation, of really not being able to enjoy a situation, so that sense of being joyless is being destroyed. Because soul says, I constantly renew myself, I constantly rebuild myself, I constantly reappear, so there is never any moment where the soul senses are not present. Soul senses are always present, they are intangible. They cannot be touched by physical senses. The physical sense testimony cannot touch it. So I see that the testimony of the physical senses have no value, that they are null and void, that they are destroyed, that they are annihilated, that they have no testimony, that they cannot speak, that they cannot see, that they cannot smell. All the physical senses have no place in the soul sense. Or take spirit, and we establish within ourselves really the perfection of spirit, which we like so much to see, the perfection of spirit, that God's eyes are too pure to behold evil. It is like Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. He could only see good. He could only see the ideas. He could only see the reflection of good. There is only one good, and that spirit. And therefore, in that perfection of the goodness of spirit, the evil is wiped out. It has no place, it has no voice, it cannot speak, it has no channel to express itself. In that infinitude of spirit, which is absolutely fulfilled, I can see really the eternal order of spirit. That eternal order of spirit that is constantly at the point of development, of unfoldment and even of evolution, so that the order of spirit always brings forth a higher sense of order, a more perfect sense of order. The complexity of order brings forth the hierarchy of order, and so I have a sense that spirit, as that ordered sense of being, is constantly refreshing itself, is constantly renewing itself, and I have the renewal of spirit, the birth of spirit, and in that perfect birth of spirit, that wipes out the sense that I cannot give birth to my spiritual identity. It wipes out, it annihilates, it destroys, whatever we can say, it purifies us from the belief in an opposite, in the belief that I have been born physically, fleshly, through a fleshly birth, that I am suffering under a fleshly birth. All that is wiped out, all that has no more possibility to express itself, it's annihilated, it does not belong to my universe. I see that I have been born of the only begotten of my Father, in the bosom of my Father, in the bosom of that one Spirit, and all that Spirit has been giving birth to is that wonderful order of Spirit, the purity of Spirit. And that wipes away and frees me of all that needs to be purified. Science purifies itself. John Dolly always would say, don't bother, science purifies itself. You don't have to purify a situation. Let science do it, and it will do it so that the impurity is destroyed. I have only 1 minute left for mind, and so we go to mind, and we go again first through to the perfection of mind. And I fill my thought with that perfection of mind, which is always wonderful, because if we can start right there, that mind is all in all. That wipes away right away the belief that there has ever been a mortal mind. That wipes away completely that it is a belief that there is mortal mind. That it is a belief that mortal mind can bring forth disease. That mortal mind can bring forth all the evil in the world. That mortal mind is the cause of all evil. It wipes it right away. This is a wonderful sense when one has in practice just to see. Well, because one asks oneself, well, the patient says, what have I been thinking wrongly? Why have I been thinking wrongly? What was my wrong thought? This is all garbage. Huh? Because there is no mortal mind that ever could start something off that was evil, because mortal mind does not exist. So it's no use to ask after mortal mind and what mortal mind was doing. It does not exist. It is annihilated. The moment I see, since time immemorial, only one mind was always mindful of itself, and that was the mind of Christ, and only the mind of Christ was always at work, so that mortal mind never had a chance to come into existence, never had a chance to operate, had never a chance really to express itself and to manifest itself. There is only one thing that is fulfilled, that is mind manifesting itself universally through time and space as a one mind, and therefore mortal mind had never any chance to express itself. Therefore it's just a phantom that shows itself, that tries to talk and to speak and to manifest itself, but it can't. It's absolutely non-existent. Okay? That is handling evil from the point of view of consciousness.